Greetings in Jesus' name. I want to invite you all to turn with me to the Word of God as we go through this message. Some of you might wonder why I chose a title as this. But we want to look at sickness and then the doctrine or the ordinance of anointing with oil, the anointing of oil or with oil. When we think of being sick, it's something that healthy people do not enjoy. People who are healthy and active enjoy doing work or being active and going, well, it depends on our personality, some want to socialize and a lot of other things. But people who are healthy, they enjoy that. They enjoy health. Everything functions the way it should and everything, and we enjoy that. As we read through the Word of God, we see that people were sick. Now, in the Old Testament, we see some different things about sickness than what we see in the New Testament. I want to just throw that out right away. The first verse that I recall or that I know, I looked it up yesterday, and I don't want to make too strong a statement, but from what I could see, the first time that we read that somebody was sick was Genesis 49, verse 1. And it says there that Joseph was told that Jacob, his father, was sick. And upon hearing that, Joseph took two of his sons to Jacob to be blessed. Now, we see that verse there. The problem of sin or sickness is intertwined with the problem of sin and death. When you think of that, you know, Genesis 1, 2, we see how Adam and Eve were created, and they had the opportunity to eat of the tree of life, but they chose to eat of the tree of good and knowledge of good and evil. And because of that choice, God had told Adam that if you eat of that tree, you're going to die. And so they made the choice of eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so when God talked to them after that, God told Adam that you are going to return to the dust from where thou was taken. Implying that he will die like he had told him. And we see that in verse chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, thou shalt not eat it. In verse 19, I'm sorry. For thus thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And so Adam was instructed, that's going to happen to you. And that is the way of mankind, even today. Men will return to the dust from when they were taken. Now, as Christians, we take a look of sickness as a consequence of the fall. We know that we are sick because of men entering into the state of living sinfully and being born in a sinful nature. Now, don't peg me right away and say that if I'm sick, I have sin in my life. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there is sickness because there is sin in the world. We live in a state full of sin. Okay? Now, most medical science views sickness and disease as more of a mental issue rather than a sin issue. I didn't realize that just till lately. Now, the Bible presents spiritual causes as the underlying and basic problem of sickness. And there are two problems or two underlying causes in the Old Testament for sickness. And that is brought out very clearly in Exodus. In an Exodus in a verse. And I'll come to that later. There are two types of... that's twofold. Sin, which affects our spiritual and physical makeup, and that is brought out in Mark 2, 1 through 12. I need to follow my notes so I don't get all mixed up here. But Mark 2... As we look at that account of the man, how he we see it's about this man who had the pleurisy, and these four friends brought him to the house, and they couldn't get into the house. And so what did they do? They go up on the roof, and they tear up the roof, and they make a place for him to let the bed down before Jesus. In verse 5 it says, "And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Why did he say, "Thy sons be forgiven thee," instead of saying, "Rise up, take up their bed and walk, or you're healed"? The reason is that sickness is really a sin issue. Now, not a personal sin issue, but the whole thing came because of sin in Genesis 3. And Jesus asked in different occasions, he asked, "Which is easier for me to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to rise up and take thy bed and walk?" And so we see from there that sickness is basically a sin issue, not necessarily a personal sin issue. He said to the man that was born blind, the disciples asked him, "Who did sin, this man or his parents?" And Jesus said, "None of them. It is to show the glory of God." But he was blind because of the sin issue. Not a personal sin issue, not of his parents' sin issue. Follow what I'm trying to say. We also see that people are sick because of Satan and his power. As you go through Genesis or the gospel, how often did Jesus heal people who were sick because demons were in their lives? It goes hand in hand. Sometimes people are sick because they are possessed with a demon from Satan. We read that in Acts 10:38. And let's just look at that verse there, Acts 10. We're almost in that right now. If this is the right verse, Acts 10:38. He says like this, "Now God appointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy," anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, "who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." And see, so sickness can be an oppression of the devil. There's other verses that we could look at. Mark 9, verse 17 through 26. And Luke 8, 26 through 36. That is the account when Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee and entered into the land of the Gennesarets. And the two men that were possessed with the devils came to meet him, and how Jesus healed them. And it says that when the people came, they saw these men in their right mind. They were healed from that sickness that they had, that possession of devils. And they were in their right mind. We see how that Jesus then told them and said, go home and tell your family, tell the people what I've done, what Jesus or what God has done for you. Acts 19, we read that this morning about this young girl who was possessed with a spirit of divination that was empowered by Satan. God's redemption is to counter the consequences of sin. For sin, God provides forgiveness. For death, God provides a resurrected life and eternal life. For sickness, God provides healing. Luke 4, 6, 18, and James 5, 14, and 15, which we will read later. Let's look at Luke, at this reference in Luke 4, 18. In fact, that was a prophecy that was written by one of the prophets about the work of Jesus. And it says here, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Remember, he was in a synagogue and he was given the scroll to read. And Jesus read these verses to these people, the group there in the synagogue. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that were bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And we see that in the ministry of Jesus, he went about doing good and healing a lot of people. God's will concerning healing is revealed in four main ways in Scripture. God's own pronouncement, number one, God's own pronouncement about this was in Genesis 15, verse 26. He says like this, this was after the people were delivered from Egypt and they were on their in the wilderness. And God spoke to them like this, and he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. So, one of the reasons, one of the things that God was pronouncing here is, if you are obedient, if you follow me, if you listen to what I said and you follow me, you will not get the diseases that I put on the Egyptians. That was a sign of judgment that he put on the Egyptians, those plagues, those sicknesses and all that. That was a sign of judgment. And I didn't read the last part of that verse, right? And then it says, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. The second was redemption, that of healing. Obedience, we do obedience, God heals. This was his own pronounce, his own what he said to the Egyptians. Not to the Egyptians, to the children of Israel, to his chosen people. This is what I will do. Throughout the Old Testament, we see that this is really what God did for them. As we look in Exodus, we see when they were disobedient, God sent a plague among them. Sometimes he sent fiery serpents among them that they would be bit and die. A sickness of poison. We see in Numbers that times when they disobeyed, he would send a sickness or a plague among them. We see in Judges again and again, when they fell into idolatry, God would punish them. And after they were faithful or returned back to God, God would heal them. We see that again. And we see that in Kings and Chronicles. And we see that in the prophets, when the prophets would prophesy. They would talk about those very facts. Okay. Now, the second way in Scripture we see in Jesus' ministry. We see in the early ministry that Jesus revealed God's action through Jesus, proving that it is the heart, nature, and purpose of God to heal all who are sick and oppressed by the Satan. We also see the third way, Christ's atonement. Jesus' atoning death was complete and adequate for redeeming the whole person, body, soul, and spirit. Now you say, "Oh, now James, wait, you don't." Now just let us finish here. As sin and sickness has become the twin giants designed by Satan to destroy us, so forgiveness and healing has become the twin blessing designed by God to redeem us and to make us whole. As believers, we should press on in humility and faith to possess the full provision of Christ's atonement. Now let's look at some scriptures here where this is based upon. Let's look at Matthew 4. The first scripture is Matthew 4. We have a whole series of scriptures here that we want to actually look at, because this is important to realize, to think that I'm not just saying something. Matthew 4, verse 25. And 26, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. We see what he was doing. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And what was he else doing? And healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. He was preaching and he was healing all manner of diseases, it says there. And in verse 24, it says, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatics, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Remember, it was sickness and possession. God healed them. Jesus in his ministry, that's what he did. Okay. Matthew 8. Let's look at Matthew 8, verse 14. It says like this, and when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of the fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. And when even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his words, and he healed all that were sick. Again, the two groups of people that he worked with, and he ministered unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bear our sickness, referring to Isaiah 53. Now let's turn our pages to Matthew 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and village, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among his people. We see Jesus' ministries. again and again. Mark 1. Let's turn to Mark 1. I want this message to be based on the scripture. Mark 1:32. It says like this. And at even when the sun did set, he brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered all the devils. And he suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. Luke 4. Verse 40 and 41. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hand on every one of them, and he healed them. And devils also went out of them, out of many, crying out and saying, Art thou Christ the Son of God? And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And we see again the two types of sicknesses there being mentioned, and Jesus healing them. And we say one thing here that often is not mentioned, but here we see that he said, the writer says that he laid his hands on them and he healed them. So we see that being mentioned here. Now, we also see in 1 Peter, we want to go to 1 Peter here and see what he is saying. One of the apostles, after the passing on of Jesus and the resurrection, his return, Peter wrote like this, 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Now, he's pointing out there that we men are not the healer. It is Jesus Christ who is the healer. It's very important for us to recognize this, that it is not us, it is Jesus Christ who is the healer. 1 Thessalonians 5, there is a verse there that I have often read, and I have often used it in benedictions in private or public sometimes for people who are leaving or from other countries who are going back into their countries. And it reads like this, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Now, let's read here what he's saying. And I pray God, your whole spirit, okay, the spiritual part of man, and soul, that's the soulish part of man, and body, that's the physical part of man, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God is concerned about our whole being, that it can be healthy, or that it can be healed from the devastation of sin and the evil one. And he's praying that the God of peace would do this. We see the fourth way that God is showing his healing power is through the ongoing work of the church. So that's where we come into play, the ongoing work of the church. We see in Luke 9 that Jesus sent out his 12 disciples. And we see how he sent them out in Luke 9. I just need to read this so I have it right, you know. And it says in verse 2, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Again, we see those are going hand in hand to heal the sick. He gave them instructions in verse 3 and 4 and 5. In verse 6 it says, and they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now he did this with the 12, and in Luke 10, Luke writes that he also did it with the 70. In Luke 10, 1 through 9, we can read about that. He sent out, in verse 1, he appointed other 70s also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whether he himself would come. And then in verse 9, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. And then in verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils were subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice rather that your names are written in the book of life, or in heaven. And so the work of the church goes on to preach. And according to the word of God, the work of the church is also to heal. I'm not preaching healing campaigns. Our work is to preach the gospel, to evangelize, and to bring out the word of God. But we see how in Pentecost, the church carried on Jesus' healing and ministry and the preaching of the gospel. We see in Acts, we're just going through that, in Acts 3, we see how that Peter and John, how they went to the temple to worship, and how they saw that man sitting on the steps and asking alms, and how that Peter said, I don't have any silver and gold to give you. But what I have in the name of Jesus Christ, I rise up and walk. And we see how he rose up and he walked, leaping and praising God. And we see how that is. We see in Matthew 5, verse 16, we see again, and there came also a multitude out of the city round about of Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. The ministry goes on. In Acts 8, we read about, again, how Peter prayed, and people were healed, and how Tabitha was healed. We see in Acts 9:34. Also, again, that was, and Peter said unto him, Ananias, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and take thy bed. And he arose immediately. Ananias, I guess it was the name. And see, again, people were healed, and the work of the ministry of the church went on. The New Testament records three ways that God's healing power and faith were imparted through the church. In Mark 16, the Word of God says like this. This was Mark's vision, a version of the Great Commission. Mark writes like this. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And there we see the New Testament says that we or people need to heal by laying on of hands. And we lay on of hands, it is not us that is doing the healing. It is Jesus Christ that is doing the healing. We are only obeying commands by laying on of hands. In 1 Corinthians 12:9, Paul wrote about the gifts. And he does specifically mention that there are gifts of healing. And I just want to mention that because it is mentioned in the scripture. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9. For another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit. It is a gift that God gives to people, to some people. And so I just want to mention that there is a gift of healing. And then the third method is spoken in James 5:14 through 16. We also see that being applied in Mark 6:13. When Jesus sent out the 12, in Mark 6 it specifically says that they laid hands on the sick and they anointed with oil. I just want to point that out. Now, in this process, we commit the person to God so that God's will can be done. There are different examples in the Word of God that we need to see that there was issues and sicknesses that were not healed. I want to point that out too because this needs a balanced message. In Galatians 4, verses 12 through 15, it says like this. Paul was writing here to the Galatians. It says like this. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Now, we don't exactly know how Paul looked or what his problem was here. It says in verse 15, where is then the blessedness ye speak of? For I bear record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and had given them to me. And I here thereby became your enemy, because I tell you the truth. And so we see that he had a problem with his eyes, and God didn't heal that. Okay? Now, 2 Corinthians 12, we see Paul again writing to the Corinthians. And he writes like this, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord, thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you. So we have in the same time people who were healed and people who were not healed. So we have to be balanced in our approach about this. We see also some more examples in 1 Timothy 5. We see Paul writing to Timothy, and we see him saying this, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sakes and thine oft infirmities. Timothy, a preacher, And here we see he is sick. And Paul tells him to use a little wine for his upset stomach. It was God's will that he has this infirmity. Second Timothy 4, verse 20. I'm not going to read this verse, but Paul is writing to Timothy again, and he says, you know, I left a certain brother at a certain place because he was sick. So there are times when God chooses not to heal. So now as we come to the time when we want to consider the practice that the Apostle James wrote to us about, let's turn your Bibles to James 5, and we want to read these verses. In order for the church to practice this, it is set forth in a specific manner of how to do it. And the Apostle James wrote this. It says like this, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passion as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, if we would look at this in prayer, on the subject of prayer, we can see that in verse 13 it talks about individual prayers. In verse 14 it talks about united prayers. In verse 15 it talks about believing prayers. In verse 16 about intercessory prayers, and also in fervent prayers. And in verse 17 about definite prayers, and in verse 18 as effectual prayers. And so this morning, as we go about to do this ordinance, Brother Dennis has requested to be anointed and prayed for. And so we want to do that this morning. Before we do that, we would like to open it up. It says here that we should confess our faults one to another and pray one for another. And so we would openly, publicly open it up this morning, that if somebody would like to make a confession before we proceed with this service, that you should do so now. And don't be afraid to do that. This is biblical. It asks you to do that if you want to. So if there are none, we would ask that Brother Dennis would come up here, and I want to ask Brother Paul A., Tim R., and Elmer to come and help us in this part of the service. Okay, so at this time we will anoint Brother Dennis with oil. Heavenly Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus for this process as we lay our hands upon Brother Dennis, that you would heal according to your will. We just give him into your hand so that you could mold him, that you can do with his life that would bring the most honor to you. It is not us here that is healing. It is Jesus Christ and him alone, and you as God alone. As we commit this brother to you, we just give him to you for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray.
Dear Lord, we continue to call on you now. We have looked into your word. We look to the pattern that you have left for us, and so we follow this pattern in as much as we are able. And we have our brother Dennis here who is has done as the scriptures have say to call upon the elders to pray and be anointed with oil. So we pray that you would honor this prayer. We know that you hear the prayer. We submit ourselves to your will, and we pray that you would work out your will in the life of Brother Dennis and his family. We do not understand the reason for the illness that you have brought upon him, but we recognize that this affliction is affecting him physically, and it affects their family life. And so we pray, dear Lord, we beseech you that you would heal if this is your will. We desire your will for our dear brother, and we look to you in fervent prayer, just like Elijah prayed. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Our Father, we are so glad for the opportunity to be a part of a church that loves you and is committed to do your will. We thank you for the words that we've heard. We know that every one of us is afflicted with the ongoing effects of the sin principle that came because of disobedience. Mm-hmm. But we thank you for the ministry of Christ and the work of the apostles, where the clear statement was made, it's recorded in your word, that sin doesn't reign. Sin doesn't rule. You do. And though we continue in this body of flesh and continue in the presence of sin all around us and deal with it in our own heart, thank you that you are greater than sin. You are the one who's redeemed us, and we believe that in that whole process, you destroyed him who had the power of death, he who loves to afflict your people. We think of Job and how you withheld your hand and said, go so far, and how he suffered. And yet in the end, you healed. We pray for Brother Dennis. Thank you for the faith that he has in you, the confidence he has, and we pray that you would honor that. Be exalted through this whole process, and may your will be done in Jesus' name.
Dear God, you've heard the prayers. Lord, I just pray a special blessing on Dennis and Liz and the family. Lord, I just ask for healing in just the trial they're going through. I just ask a special blessing that your will might be done. Lord, in just the mental strain as well of being the provider in the home, and I just pray that you would give Dennis grace and Liz through this situation. Lord, I pray for healing again. That would be our desire according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.